Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Good morning. How you doing? Are you well? Ricky Everton, you're the man. We're in school together, and so just seeing you shredding on those drums, I'm like, what a blessing it is to be here in Redland Bay. Oh, is this Redland Bay or is this Cleveland? I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, I tried. So I'm from Tweed Heads, so I'm over the border, but I'm a Queenslander, so I'm a missionary to the dark state of New South Wales. So know that I come with a good report that God is moving in that dark state. But I originally grew up in Brisbane, and I was originally from Gumdale. I don't know if anyone here knows Gumdale, but that was the first place I lived, was Gumdale, just near Chandler. Went to City Point College from preschool to year 12, and was very rebellious to the things of God, and pretty much didn't believe in anything. And because my parents separated when I was 10 years old, I was filled with a lot of frustration and anger and questions about life. So in my teenage years, I just ran to everything else to try and fill this void that was in my heart. And so I tried the parties, I tried the relationships with girls, and all of it just didn't satisfy me. I don't know if there's anyone here who can relate to that. You tried the stuff and you'd end up at the end just being like, I'm just not satisfied. And then some friends invited me to a Hillsong conference in 2004, and I'm like, Hillsong conference? You want me to come to Hillsong conference? I'm like, I'm not a Christian. I don't care for Hillsong conference. And they're like, just come down. So I went to Hillsong conference, and as I was there, I just encountered the presence of God, really, that started to unlock my heart. And I was on the last night, a lady by the name of Joyce Meyer, don't know if you've heard of her, but she has a small ministry to a few million people. But she just preached, and she just, I don't know what she preached, but all I remember is this altar call moment of her calling people to Christ and saying, God has been pursuing you. He's been pursuing you. He's been pursuing you. And it just felt like the love and the peace and the joy of God flooded through my whole entire being. Is there anyone here who's experienced that? Who's experienced that? There was a few hands that didn't go up. I'm excited. That means there's people here who don't know Jesus. That's good. That's a good thing. And it flooded my entire being. And from that moment, I was instantly changed at 19 years of age. I'm now 39. That was 20 years ago. And so just 2 weeks ago during our INC conference was the 20-year anniversary of me meeting Jesus. And I just remember this moment of just being in worship, remembering and going, God, I so clearly remember when I met you. Can I encourage you as a church never to lose the joy of your salvation? Never, like, some of the words we're singing in those songs there, like, we're believing for a move of God. That's a wild thing to say. I'm believing for a move of God in my city, in my church. I'm believing for a move of God in my heart, to be honest. And I just would love every single one of us just to say, God, would you move in my heart in revival power this morning? Could we come into agreement with that? Lord, move in our hearts in revival power. So I'm going to preach this morning from Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 2, and just in worship, I just want to release this word over you as a church. In worship, I really saw this picture of an aeroplane, like a commercial airliner, and I saw people at the checkout gate, or the check-in gate, sorry, ready to scan their ticket and hop on this plane, and I saw that there were many lined up, and there were many that were there checking in. And I felt like there was some that were carrying too much baggage, and the workers and the attendants were like, sorry, you can't take that much baggage with you. And so I saw some baggage being placed on the lower carriage of this plane. I believe this is a word for this church. I believe I saw some baggage being placed on the lower carriage of the plane and people starting to line up on the plane. And I just said, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say over this church? And I really feel the Lord is saying he is about to move in a dramatic way in this church. And I don't know if that's a physical move. I don't know if it's like, hey, get ready to move somewhere. I don't know if it's your own land. I don't know if it's your own property. Don't know if it's your own building. Or I don't know if it's a plane that's going to the throne room of heaven. I don't know which one it is. But all I know is God's saying, get ready. But you must be ready. You must be ready. You must have a heart of expectation that God has something in store where he's moving you. He's taking you somewhere. And so I just release that over this church right now, just to lift your faith and expectation that he is a speaking God. He's a speaking God. He's alive, friends. He's alive from the dead. Oh, come on. He's alive. He went to the cross. He went to the tomb. He came back alive. And now he's seated in glory for all of eternity. And so I just release that over this church in Jesus' name. And I just want to honor your pastors, Az and Beck. They are friends of mine, friends of my wife, Tara, and our family, Ross and Kathy. And they're just incredible people. And I just think some of the most real, down-to-earth, genuine people that I've ever met, and can see that God's hand is upon them to pass this church in this season. So make sure you honor your pastors. Make sure you send them a text right now and just say, you're the best pastors we've ever had. So they're incredible. All right. We're going to look at this story, Mark chapter 2, around this paralyzed man having his sins forgiven and being physically healed. And now, ultimately, I want you to know this story comes out of my own personal journey over the last 3 months. And what I've walked through in my family and am currently walking through is one of the biggest things that, or it is the biggest thing that we've ever walked through. And some of you might know, some of you might not know, but my brother-in-law passed away tragically 3 months ago in an e-bike accident. Wasn't wearing a helmet, had a crash, and ended up in ICU for 4 days. And we as a family were rushed there in the middle of the night, and for the next 4 days, we were by his side, believing for a miracle, praying that God would touch his life. Thousands of people around the world, I think this church was one of them, were praying. I know Az and Beck came down to a prayer meeting we had one Monday night, just last minute. My team called a prayer meeting, hundreds of people there. And I pull up after being at the hospital to this prayer meeting at 10:30 at night. Still, hundreds of people there praying and worshiping. And I just was overcome with emotion and tears as I looked at the faithful saints standing in the gap, believing for a move of God over Jaden's life. And so I just want to honor you as a church for standing and praying, and honor Az and Beck for their love for Ross and Kathy and for our family. But this story really does come out of that journey, because as we're in ICU, you're really only allowed one or two people to come and visit. I think I counted 70 people who came through ICU at the Gold Coast University Hospital. And just we were worshiping in there with guitars. Apparently that's not allowed. We were praying. And people were experiencing the presence of God in the hospital. It was amazing. I'm going to share a little bit more about it. And so we've gone through this, and we are in this painful season of our life. And you might think, man, pretty bold to touch on a story about healing and power and the power of God. But I want people to know in my life, and I want you to know as followers of Jesus, that I'm not backing down from the full gospel. I'm going after the kingdom of God, and I'm saying, God, pour out your power and your glory in my life and in the church, and let us be a people who really do walk with a heart set for the things of God. And so we're going to work through these verses, Mark 2, verses 1 through to 12. And this is something that out of this journey, God started to unlock and open my heart and my eyes to see all these people in Jaden's world, all these friends in Jaden's world that don't know Jesus. Jaden was a very creative person, had a lot of different influences and connections, and all these people that started to come across my view where I realized, whoa, you are someone that God has created on purpose and for a purpose, and I now feel responsibility to help carry you to Christ. And so this is where this message comes out of. A few months ago, I was some friends of mine who have a big prophetic ministry. They're Aussies, but they live in America, and they came over and they led this prophetic night at my church, and there was hundreds of people there. It was really powerful. And in the worship, there was this just alive atmosphere, and I had my eyes closed, And as I was just worshiping with my eyes closed, I started to see this picture, this vision of these hands lacing up these army boots. And as I saw these hands lacing up these army boots, the vision started to zoom out a little bit, and I saw that it was a bride in a wedding dress lacing up army boots. And it was so clear, this vision. I remember just asking the Holy Spirit, "Lord, what is this?" And he says, "My church is my bride, and I love her, and I'm coming back for her, but my church is also my army." And you need to know, as the bride of Christ, as a follower of Jesus, as a son and daughter of God, you are the bride of Christ, and you're also the army of God. I'm the bride of Christ, and I'm also the army of God. And I just feel in this season, the Lord is raising up a church who is not only understanding that we are sons and daughters of God, walking in intimacy with the Lord, we're the bride of Christ, but we're also a church being raised up to understand we've been given a mission to reach the world with the gospel. And to reach the world that is in a battlefield right now. I don't know if anyone saw the opening of the Olympics. We are in a battlefield, friends. This is not a game. We're not here playing happy little clappy church games. We're here to encounter the living God. We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit on our lives. I need the fire of God to burn so strong in my heart that I wouldn't just be about a Sunday service, but I would be about the kingdom of God every single day. That's what I'm praying, God. Bring revival in my life in such a powerful way. And so I believe the Lord is raising up a church who is serious about the mission that he's called us to. So let's work through these verses together and we'll see what the Lord is speaking through his word. It says this, "And again, he entered Capernaum," that's Jesus, "after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them." I just want to stop there and look that the reason why there is many gathered in the house is because Jesus has not long ago started his ministry at age 30. And the Son of God for 30 years was in a life of development and training. I mean, it just blows my mind. If you know a little bit about Jewish history, Jesus went to discipleship school to become a rabbi. Mind-blowing. The Son of God. Need you to know, Jesus was a rabbi. He was an actual qualified teacher of the scriptures. He's not just some good teacher that people know. They only call people rabbi or teacher if they're a legitimate rabbi or teacher. So I need you to understand, Jesus went through a life of development to then be baptized and confirmed into his earthly ministry. And then if I just look at my Bible, if I flip back one page in the Gospel of Mark, these are some of the subheadings I read just in the first chapter. It says, Jesus casts out an unclean spirit. Peter's mother-in-law is healed. Many are healed after sunset. Jesus cleanses a leper. And here in the start of Mark chapter 2, we see Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. Could we all agree right now that the kingdom of God is coming very quickly through the ministry of Jesus? Like, he's not mucking around. He's like, "I'm here to show you who I really am." And so many people have heard about the miracle worker Jesus. And so when he's in Capernaum, they're like, "Whoa, Jesus is here and he's at a house. Let's go to the house." And many people are there that it's so overcrowded. I just want you to picture if this was the house that Jesus was preaching in this morning. Imagine you had a seat in that house. You'd feel like you're pretty good, hey? You'd be sitting there being like, "Can't believe we got a seat. Can't believe we got a seat. We're listening to Jesus. We're listening to this miracle worker." But here's what I love about Jesus. Even though we see in these first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, man, he's healing, he's delivering, he's setting free. This is what I see Jesus doing when he's got a crowd gathered. It says that he preached the word to them. That he preached the word to them. One thing we have to recognize about Jesus is that he was always on mission making disciples. He was always on mission making disciples. And how he made disciples is he taught the word. Now, it doesn't say what word he was preaching to them, but if we can look at other stories in the Bible of where Jesus would teach and preach the word, we would probably see that Jesus is preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God, and he's revealing that he's in fact the Christ. He's the Messiah. If you were to look in another passage at the end of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has died on the cross. He's gone to the tomb. He's resurrected from the dead. And then it says there's two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. And they're walking and they're devastated and they're downcast. And Jesus comes up, the resurrected Jesus, and walks next to them and says, "What are you guys so sad about?" And it says that Jesus is, he's kept from them understanding and knowing who he is at that time. And they say, "What do you mean, why are we sad? Are you the only one in Israel that doesn't know what happened to Jesus, the Son of God, that we believed was a prophet? He was sent from God. He was going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world." And they killed him. They crucified him. And we're devastated. And Jesus walks with them listening. And then they get to their stop, their house, where they're going to stop for the night. And they go in there and Jesus pretends to keep on walking. They say, "Why don't you come in and eat with us?" And says Jesus goes in and he breaks bread. He starts to have communion with them. And it says he opens the scriptures and he starts to teach from Moses all the way through to reveal who he is. So we could probably understand in this moment right now, Jesus is teaching from the scriptures. Why? Because he's a rabbi. He's a rabbi, so he's someone that people want to listen to. But he's not just any old rabbi. He's a rabbi with authority. He's a rabbi with power. He's a rabbi with signs and wonders and miracles. This is what I love about what Jesus does here. He teaches the word to them. He preaches the word to them. Why? Because the word reveals Jesus. Can I encourage you, Beacon Church, follower of Jesus, to be in your word? 20 years of following Christ, 12 years of pastoring a church in Tweed Heads, and to be honest, I'm amazed how many of us can say we're sold out for the Lord, but we're not reading his word. We're not reading his word. And I don't say that to condemn and convict anyone. I just say it because it's true. It's been so true in my life. But for the last 3 years, I've been reading the Bible in a year. Does anyone read the Bible in a year, the physical Bible in a year? I'd encourage you to go to Koorong and get one. Man, the revelation that pours out as I read the word. And the reason why as a church we gather weekly and even throughout the week around the word of God is because it teaches us. And it realigns our hearts to who God is. And if you're not in the Word, this is what will happen. You will start to deconstruct your faith. And you will form a God in your own image. You will form a God to suit your own likeness. And the Bible says in the last days, they will be lovers of self. And they will find teachers to tickle their itching ears. Beacon Church, can I encourage us, be people of the Word. Be people of the Word, people who love the Word of God and who find who Christ is through the Scriptures. And so we see here Jesus teaching the Scriptures to them. It says in verse 3, "Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men." Then they came to him, they came to Jesus, bringing a paralytic carried by four men. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as someone who carries people to Christ. I just want to be known as someone, when people talk about Lachlan Jones, I want them to be like, "Oh man, that guy brings people to Jesus." And I don't mean just brings people to a church service, although it's amazing. I'm talking brings people to Jesus on the street, brings people to Jesus in the surf, brings people to Jesus at the petrol station. Wherever I am, I want to be known as someone who brings people to Jesus. Why? Because that's the ministry we've been called to. That's the ministry we're called into. We're not called to warm seats on a Sunday. We're called to live 24/7, sold out for the gospel. I want to be known as someone who brings people to Jesus. Not just brings them to a church service, as beautiful as that is. I truly believe it's a powerful place to bring people to. And if you don't know Jesus here, this is a great environment for you to be in, to learn about him and to be amongst his people in his presence. But imagine making a decision today to say, "God, baptize me with your power afresh that I may be someone who carries people to Christ in my life." And here we see these four men carrying a stretcher. Imagine a church full of stretcher carriers. Imagine that, a church. I had a friend who's a pastor in Adelaide and he preached to my church a couple of years ago. And as he got up to preach, he said, "Hey, I just had a vision. In worship, I saw this church as I saw this emergency sign like in a hospital. that this was like an emergency department. And I saw these people walking around in white coats, and in this vision, they represented specialists. And he said, I believe there's specialists in this church. And as I'm sharing this over Beacon Church right now, I believe there's specialists in this church. God has placed specific people here as specialists. And he said, as I saw these specialists walking around, I saw these other teams of people with white armbands on with the Red Cross, like the medic armband. And as they were, I saw the armband, and then I saw stretchers full of people being brought in by these medics and laid on the floor, and the specialists started to care for them and bring them back to life. And I see a season that is cracking open in the nation of Australia where we are going to be serious about the mission that God has called us to. And we're going to be like those types of medics that carry people to Jesus in all spheres of life. The broken, the hurting, the beat up, the sinner, whoever they are, that we are going to be the church that carries them to Christ to be healed and restored. Can I get an amen on that? Here's what I know. I read this story and I start to look at it and I think, four men bring a paralytic who's carried on a stretcher. I started to think about what it means to carry someone to Christ, and I thought, it takes great intentionality to carry someone to Jesus. It really does. If you think about these four men, they didn't just out of nowhere turn up at a house. No, they had to make a decision. Hey, we've heard about this Jesus. We've heard about the miracle worker, and we believe he could heal you. We believe something could happen in your life. Hey, four of us, why don't we get on either side of this stretcher, and why don't we start to carry our friend to Christ? Now, I'm going to be as bold to say, I think I've carried a stretcher before. Has anyone carried a stretcher with someone on it? It is heavy. Like, it is heavy. And I've done it with my wife watching, and I was like shaking and quivering, but I was trying to pretend I had it all together because I wanted to be strong and like know that she's married to a man, like a strong man. But I'm like, holy moly, this is so heavy right now. And I'm going to be as bold to say the stretcher that I carried in 2024, this carbon, nice, lightweight, modern day stretcher, is a little bit better than the stretcher that was carried in AD 30. I'm just going to be bold to say that. Now, these men had to be really intentional about this moment, because they had to either find a stretcher or build a stretcher or use whatever stretcher this paralytic man used throughout his life. And then they had to carry him to Jesus. It takes great intentionality to carry someone to Christ. We can sing the songs. We can clap our hands. But if we don't say, God, birth a fire in my spirit that I would be so serious about this mission that you've called me to. You know, friends, I believe our greatest battle in the church as followers of Christ is not the devil. I believe our greatest battle towards the mission of God is our comfort and our complacency. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm preaching to me. We live in the most comfortable place, don't we? Our culture, even that we're a part of, wants to make us more and more comfortable. Everything is just getting so easy in the world. Like, you don't even have to go to the grocery store. You can just open your little phone and you can press a button and your groceries turn up at your door. Praise God for Uber Eats. I'm just going to say that. Praise God, I love Uber Eats. But if you want to find out any information, you don't even have to hop off the toilet. You just hop on that little phone and you can access anything you want to know throughout the whole entire world. You can watch anything. The culture that we're a part of is just subtly dulling us down just to be nice and comfortable. And as Christians and as a church, we have to be careful that we don't come under the culture of the world and just start to want a nice, easy faith. I just want a nice, comfortable faith, God. I just want everything to be nice and in order. Friends, you are the bride of Christ, but you also are the army of God. And as the army that's called into the battlefield, lacing up the army boots, you're not called out there to just have cups of teas and donuts. Friends, it is a battlefield that we are called to. it takes great intentionality to break off the spirit of complacency, to not conform to the culture of the world. But I'm afraid, to be honest, I'm afraid that the modern day church in Australia has lost a bit of its fight. I'm afraid that we've lost a bit of that raw passion or raw mongrel in us as followers of Jesus to be like, I'm passionate about the kingdom of God. And we often just want to sit back and pray people into the kingdom. And I love the intercessors. Trust me, you're amazing. I love prayer. And my theological position is I believe that no one can come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit first draws them. I fully believe that. And while I believe we are to sit and pray for the harvest, Jesus also says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. You and I are called to be the laborers. Let's not just be the intercessors in the prayer room who say, Lord, send the laborers. Say, Lord, send me. Lord, send me as a medic to those who are lost and dying and wounded and broken and hurting. Send me, Holy Spirit. Send me, God. And I just pray, Lord, there would be a fresh baptism of power and boldness over this church right now. I pray it'd be a fresh baptism of power over my life. So I want to just ask us this question. What would some stretches be that we could use in 2024? What would some stretches be in your life to carry people to Christ? What could they be? Sure, a church service is powerful. I love it. Bring people to church. But what about our dining table? Imagine seeing our dining tables. Imagine seeing our homes as a stretcher to carry people to Christ. Imagine right now us getting a vision for the people who live in our street. Imagine us getting a vision for the people or the person who lives right next door to us. I don't know about you, but I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit that I don't know everyone in my street. I feel that. I feel the conviction in my spirit that I'm sometimes so busy with the toings and froings of church life that I don't even have time to get to know my neighbor. Imagine us being a church who carried our neighbors to our dining tables and started to love them, not just as some agenda that I can tick a box that I reached out, but to love them because they're a child of God created in his image, but they're just far from him right now. Imagine if we got that kind of vision for our neighbor. Imagine if we had that kind of vision for our friends. What could a stretcher be in our life in 2024? Maybe it could be the boardroom table or the office that you work in or your school or your university. Whatever it is, whatever sphere of influence that you are in right now as a job, imagine seeing that job as a mission field to carry people to Christ. Imagine if we use, this is going to be revolutionary, so get ready to have your mind blown. Imagine we use social media to carry people to Jesus. I just want to say, your food is not that good to look at. I just honestly see people posting, so excited about my breakfast. I'm like, so cool. Here's my holiday. Here's my family. Beautiful. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me, share the good news of the gospel over the internet. Blast the airwaves with the good news of Jesus, friends. God has given us this tool. All of us as Christians in the modern day, I'm one of them, are like, social media is evil. Man, it's the most distracting thing in the world. But if we could be intentional to use it as a stretcher to carry people to Christ, there are so many times that I have seen people by posting the things of God on my social media that they've messaged me directly and reached out to know more about God. It is a stretcher, friends. Make sure we use it intentionally. Another concept, I preached at a Baptist Young Adult Conference last night. Man, those people were hungry for the Spirit of God. I didn't leave till 11:30 p.m. praying for each and every one of those young adults. Bridgman Downs, north side of Brizzy. I said, just jokingly, hey, I'll stand and pray for every one of you till midnight if that's the case. They took me up on that. I didn't leave until 11:30 p.m., so I'm a little bit tired this morning. But Andy Gourlay, who was the leader of Red Frogs, also spoke there, and I already had this in my notes and didn't know he was going to be there, but I said, imagine using a little Red Frog lolly as a stretcher to carry someone to Jesus. How mind-blowing is that? That God is so amazing at weaving his story and his purpose through something that would look so insignificant, like a little Alan's Red Frog lolly. And thousands of people have been carried to Christ through that ministry. What could it be, friends? What could a stretcher be in our lives in 2024? I know for me, one of the stretchers I'm currently using is my lawnmower. It's my lawnmower. When I moved into the place that I live in, my neighbor, who's like, it's like a, almost like a duplex, he's attached to our house, and he comes to me and he says, hey mate, do you have a mower? He goes, I don't have one. Do you mind just mowing my lawn? I thought, pretty out there, pretty bold for you to just come up and say that. And I just thought, you know what, I'm going to serve this man. So for the last year, every single week, I've mowed this guy's lawn. And not once in that whole year did he come out and say thank you. I'd look in and see him sitting on his couch watching movies, and he wouldn't even come out and say, thanks for mowing my lawn. I thought, I'm going to dig up this lawn soon, fill it with rocks, see if you like that. Flesh nature, crucifying the flesh, crucifying those thoughts. So I mowed this lawn for a year, and then all of a sudden, just a couple of months ago, it was this really hot, sweaty afternoon. I'm racing around before this storm comes, mowing this lawn. And it's getting dark, and I look over, and he's just standing at his door with the door open as I finish mowing. He says, want a drink? I'm like, bro, I thought you'd never ask. I thought you were never going to acknowledge that I was doing this. I said, yes, I do want a drink. So I go and sit in his house, in his little unit, and I mean, stinking hot. And I look at this, it's like a brand new house, and I look at this like aircon unit. I'm like, wow, how cool is your aircon unit? It's like, yeah, I've never turned it on. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. There's a fan above us not on. I'm like, that's a nice fan. He's like, never used it. I'm like, what is wrong with this guy? Like, I'm sweating here. And so we're sitting there having a drink together, and I've prayed for him before, and I've just, you know, had a few conversations. So he knows I'm a pastor of a church. And he said, hey, I don't know what to call you. Do I call you priest? Do I call you Padre? What do I call you? And I'm like, no, you don't call me anything. I said, I don't even ask my church to call me Pastor Locke, to be honest. I'm like, if people say, hey, Pastor Locke, I'm like, are you talking to me? I'm not about those types of titles. And so he just said, I just started to ask him questions. Hey, can you tell me your story? And he's like, you don't want to hear my story. I'm like, no, I don't want to hear your story. He's like, nah. He goes, I've had so many failures in my life, it's not worth telling. He starts to tell me a little bit about his story of this broken lifestyle that he had as a kid. And he starts to tell me about the two broken marriages that he's had, how he's disconnected from his adult children. And as he's telling me, I could just see the shame over his whole entire body. And then he said, can I ask you how you came to know Jesus, or how you came to have a faith? And I'm thinking, oh, bro, this is amazing. You're about to meet Jesus. And so I just start to share my story. You know, grew up going to a Christian school, grew up going to church on Sundays, but it wasn't real for me. And I've said this before at this church, but I encourage you to get good at sharing your testimony in just a few minutes. Just get good. Go through. What was life like before Christ? What was it like to meet Christ? What's life like now with Christ, walking with Christ? 3 points. And so I just started telling him my life. You know, grew up, parents divorced, really angry. Tried everything, dissatisfied, and then I went to this conference and I met him. And I said, and it was like this water bomb of his love and peace filled my whole entire being. And as I said that, he's sitting there and he's like, phew. He's like, whoa. He's like, I just got these shivers down my spine, and I knew exactly what was starting to happen. The Holy Spirit was touching his life. And so I keep moving on with my story. I was in bad relationships, and then God intervened and he told me the one who I was going to marry. Boom, he's like, oh, and he shivers again. All of a sudden, he's like, man, the hairs are standing up all over my body. Every time I'd get to a major crossroad of my story, the presence of God would get thicker in this room. And I was just sitting there thinking, this has all come about because I used a mower as a stretcher to carry this man towards Jesus. Now, this mission that we're called to, it's not our job to save people, it's our job to serve people. And the greatest way you can serve someone is by doing something to show the kindness of God But then there has to be, when there's an open door, you have to tell them about Jesus. Another stretcher that our family has just felt like God's placed on our heart to use is a bit of a dream that my wife had 3 weeks after the passing of her brother. And when we're in ICU and you're there for 4 days, you don't know what's happening. One of our friends brought up a basket of food, had food, fruit, water, Gatorade, all this sorts of stuff. And we didn't realize at the time just how essential and comforting that basket would become. And you just, over the next 4 days, because when you rush out in the middle of the night to an ICU unit, you don't have anything. You literally don't have a phone charger, nothing. You just go, and next thing you're like, oh, we don't have anything. You don't eat, you don't drink. The hospital don't really take care of the families. They're just there for the patient. And so all of a sudden, we realized, man, that became essential. And my wife had a dream about delivering these ICU baskets to families who are thrown into the same situation. And so now out of that dream, we're starting a charity called Beautiful Crazy, because that's what my brother-in-law called himself. He said he was a bit crazy, but he was a beautiful crazy. So we're starting a outreach ministry called Beautiful Crazy, which is going to be delivering ICU essential bags to families in ICU. And this is, my friends, how in the most painful parts of your story, God will use it with purpose. He will use it with purpose to reach people who are far from God. And so in the planning meeting, if I can get the keys up, that'd be awesome. In the planning meeting for this Beautiful Crazy ministry, my operations guy on my staff, Jeremy, he used to manage IGA stores in Moolumba. And he said to Ross, he said, hey, I wonder if my old boss would be interested in donating some goods. Let's go talk to him about this new ministry. And so they go and Ross walks into the store and the boss walks past him and stares at him like this. And Ross is like, okay, a bit freaky, but it is Moolumba, so we'll let it go. He says they finally sit into this office and Ross starts to talk about what Beautiful Crazy is about. My son tragically passed away 3 months ago in an e-bike accident in Byron Bay. And then this guy goes, stop right there. He said, did your son's girlfriend and his girlfriend's mum sit in the waiting room for the whole 4 days in Gold Coast University Hospital? And Ross says, yeah, he did. Yeah, they did. And this guy goes, beep and beep. He said, you're not going to believe this, but we were the other family that was sitting in that waiting room of that ICU. He says, and your daughter picked up this basket of food and came over. And she came over to us and she said, here, have some of this food. We're not going to eat it all. Friends, this is how amazing God is in his mission to the world. That the first recipients of this concept of ICU essential bags or baskets was the one other family sitting in the ICU unit that manages an IGA store and owns an IGA store in Moolumba that Ross and Jeremy are sitting down with to pitch this idea. And he says, you don't know how essential that became to us as a family. He says, say no more. You don't have to pitch anything else to me. He goes, I'm in. Whatever you need, I'm in. I will donate it for free. I will give you everything you need. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? When you make a decision to posture your heart, to be about the kingdom of God, to partner with him, he will unlock doors. What's the stretcher that God has placed in your life? What are the things that God has given you to use to carry people to Christ? Goes on in verse 4 and says, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, so that when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Can I encourage us as the church in 2024 not to stop at the first obstacle you come across when trying to carry someone to Jesus? Don't stop at the first obstacle. Don't stop at the first little obstruction when carrying someone to Christ. Will there be challenges with it? You betcha there will. You betcha there will. There's so many obstacles to this journey of carrying people to Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 11 verse 12, he says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. What does that scripture mean? That you and I are meant to get violent? The church is meant to start now and like get a bit of fight in them? No, this is what this scripture means. That word violent actually means to live with an eager, determined, enthusiastic expectation that God's going to move in your life. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. There is real stuff going on in the world. But those who live with an eager, determined, excited expectation that I get to be a part of what God's doing on the earth, they're the ones that God uses to see people come to Christ. Can I encourage us as a church, lift your faith and your expectation that just like that beautiful, crazy ministry where God would orchestrate something, man, that fills me with excitement. That fills me with passion to be like, God is on the move. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And those who live with that kind of expectation, God says, I'm going to break the kingdom open in your life. Friends, if our faith is boring, listen to me now. If our faith is boring, then it's more than likely we've stepped off the battlefield, we've stepped off being mission focused, and we've simmered our life of Christianity down to something it was never meant to be. If our faith is boring, this journey that we're called into to be the bride of Christ and the army of God is not meant to be some boring, stale faith. It's meant to be a dynamic life of living in union with the King of Glory and walking with Him in the mission that we're called to. Can I encourage you today? This is an exciting adventure. When you start to live with intentionality to carry people to Christ, you watch what starts to happen in your life. God will break open things. When you live with intentionality that I'm going to see someone set free by the power of God and He's going to use my life to do it. Come on, friends. That prophetic ministry and that night that happened at my church a number of months ago, Nate Johnston's his name, and he got up and he just started to prophesy over the room. And you know, in that moment, powerful things happening, but I didn't actually know any direct stories. Well, a week later, I get a text from a friend. He's not in my church. And he says, bro, I need to tell you about what happened on that night. He said, there was a friend of mine who was there that I'm discipling. He's a young business guy and he's extremely wealthy. He's like a really high level, high powered businessman. And he goes, he's come to Christ a year ago, but he's got all these different addictions in his life. All these different chains that have been holding him back that he just hasn't been able to get set free from. And he said when Nate got up on that platform and started to prophesy that chains were going to break off people's lives, he said all of a sudden he felt this like power fill his life and he started to laugh uncontrollably. And he was baptized with the gift of tongues, speaking and praying in tongues. And he said, and he woke up the next morning and he had no more desire for those things that were chaining him down. He woke up the next morning, had no more desire for those things that once held him bound. He woke up the next morning, a week later, he's been totally set free. And as I heard about that story, I just thought, my goodness, there were people that night who carried the stretcher that looked like a communion tray. There were people that night who came early and vacuumed an auditorium and got it ready so that people could come in and encounter God without any distraction. There were people that night who had sown financially into that event and into that property so that someone could come and be set free for all of eternity, friends. This is what it's about. It's about carrying people to Jesus. And I want to ask you, would you be a church and would you be a follower of Christ who makes a decision today? I'm going to carry someone to Christ in my world. I'm going to use a stretcher. What is the stretcher, Lord? What's the stretcher you have in my life? Goes on in verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, these men who come to an obstacle of there's no room to get into Jesus, so they're like, we've got a plan. Let's get this paralyzed man on the roof. I'm like, give me some more men like this in the church. Can I encourage you, get to men's camp. We're believing that there's going to be a touch of God on your life at that men's camp. I'm believing it. I'm seeing it over my men's camp the following week. I'm believing God set men on fire in the church. If we have mighty men in the church, there's been a massive gap of men taking their place in the modern day church. I'm asking for men like this that carry people who are wounded and broken and lay them, and they don't stop at the first obstacle and they start to rip open the roof. And I reckon in that moment, Jesus was like, yeah. I mean, he's the Son of God. He knows this is about to happen, but I reckon he's like, yeah, come on, this is so exciting. And as he watches this roof being ripped open, they start to lower their friend down to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't look at the paralyzed man and say, hey, because of your faith. He looks up and says, because of your faith. Because of your faith. Do you know that faith attracts God? Do you know God responds to atmospheres of faith? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means with faith. With faith. When you live a life of intentional, excited, expectant faith, it attracts God. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want God to be attracted to my life. I want God to look at my life and say, that is exciting. He responds to the faith of these four friends. Has anyone here seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge? Hands up if you've seen Hacksaw Ridge. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Incredible movie. World War II and, you know, all the battles that are happening there. And it's about the Americans versus the Japanese. But it's focused around this one man called Desmond Doss. And Desmond Doss is a man of faith. And he doesn't want to shoot a gun. He doesn't want to kill another man. And so what Desmond Doss does is he becomes a medic. And the whole movie really does climax around this one scene where the Japanese are being pushing the Americans back and they all retreat back down the side of the cliff that they've climbed up. And Desmond Doss stays on the battlefield. And as he's on the battlefield, he sees one wounded soldier make a noise and he's alive. And so while he's still under enemy fire, he creeps over and he grabs one of these wounded soldiers and he drags him to the edge of the cliff and he figures out a way to lower this soldier down with these ropes. Like, such hard work. And then he sees one more who's wounded on the battlefield. And he goes and he grabs another man and he starts to lower them down. Desmond Doss, true story, rescued 75 soldiers from the battlefield. One man. And the famous line in that movie is after he'd lower one down, he'd be completely exhausted. He'd say this line, just one more. Just one more. And I'm saying, God, fill me with a vision for just one more. Fill me with a vision for just one more in my street. Fill me with a vision for just one more in my school. Fill me with a vision for just one more in my family. Fill me with a vision, God, that has this eager, determined expectation to live with that kind of faith. I'm praying, God, raise up a missional church in this hour on the earth. Understanding that we are called to go into every sphere of influence to carry people to Jesus. Here's the main part of the story. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. I don't know about you, but if you'd done all that effort to carry someone to Jesus to get physically healed, you lower them down through the hole in the roof that you've ripped open, and then Jesus doesn't address the very need you need him to address. I don't know about you, but I'd probably lean through the roof and be like, Jesus, Jesus, it's his legs. His legs aren't working. He needs a miracle in his legs. Here's what you need to know about God. God is more interested in giving you what you need than what you want. Someone here needs to be reminded of that right now. God is more interested in giving you what you need than what you want. And when it comes to the mission of God, when you carry people to Jesus, it's not your job to save them. You don't have to dress Jesus up and say, look at how beautiful he is. Look at him. He's an amazing God. He will do everything for you. You don't have to do that. You just have to get them to Jesus. You just have to share Christ with them. And when Christ starts to touch their life, he will give them exactly what they need. Why? Because he loves them more than you. He loves them more than me. And this is what I realize in my life, is that many people come to Jesus because they just want their life to be healed and fixed and blessed. But God is more interested in giving us what we really need. And it's not until you come to Christ you realize that the true sickness or the true ailment in our life is not the physical ones, it's the spiritual one. It's the spiritual one. And Jesus reveals in that moment that he's more interested in healing this man for eternity than just healing him for the temporary. He's more interested with the condition of his soul. He's more interested in saving him to spend eternity with him than just healing him and letting him walk out of that house and off to hell. It says in verse 6, and some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts. So they haven't even said anything. They're reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. The whole point of Jesus' ministry was to reveal that he was God incarnate. He was God in flesh. And he knew to claim to be able to forgive sins means to claim to be God. Jesus is God. This is what we must have this ultimate revelation about. The whole goal of Jesus coming to earth is that we would realize that God has come for humanity. And this is the story of the gospel. Not that God, not that people or humanity came to man, but that God has come for humanity. God has come for us. And when he comes for us, he gives us what we really need, not what we really want. And what we really need is to be forgiven of our sin, so that we can be filled with his spirit and we can become a child of God and we can step into the mission of God. He came for us, friends, in all of our ailments, in all of our mess, in all of our sin, to reveal that he loves us. Would you stand with me right now? I'd love to pray over us. And then we're just going to respond in worship just for a moment. If the worship team's up here, I'll just get them to play Holy Forever. Just right now, just close your eyes all across this room right now. We're asking him for a fresh baptism of his power and love. Right now, all across this room, a fresh baptism of power and love. Don't look at me, look away to him right now. Just say, God, fill me with your power and your love. Fill me with your power and your love. All across this room right now. Come on, let's stir up that spirit of faith right now. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the good news of the gospel. Lord, I thank you that you would love us and you would save us. And Holy Spirit, I ask right now over us as your people, Lord, for a fresh baptism of love and power. A fresh baptism of love and power. Come on, all across this room, let's just start to worship him right now. That's it, every voice, every heart. Come on, his name, Jesus. All powers. Yes, Lord, we worship you today, God. Come on, and the angels cry. Oh, Lord, light us on fire, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, sing it again. And the angels cry. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the way you're moving on the hearts of us as your people right now. Lord, I thank you right now that you have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you that's revealed ultimately in your Son, Jesus Christ, coming and dying on the cross for our sin. And I ask right now, Lord, that you would empower us afresh, God. Empower us with fresh faith in Jesus' mighty name. Just keep your eyes closed for one moment. I just want to know if there's anyone here who would not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You've never said yes to Jesus. You've never responded to this gift of the gospel, of the love of God who wants to forgive your sin. You must understand, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's physical death and spiritual death, spiritual separation from God for all of eternity. This is the most serious thing you could hear, friend. Maybe this is your moment of being carried towards Christ. He's working on your heart right now. So if that's you right now in this room, and you would know you're still in your sin, you haven't received the gift of salvation, there are people praying for you right now. This is the most important decision that you could ever make in your life, is to respond to Jesus. And it would be my greatest honor and privilege to lead you to him today, to help carry you to Christ, to see you saved and redeemed for eternity. So if that's you this morning and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're not right with God, but today you're responding to his love, I just want to know who you are. Would you lift your hand just nice and high in this room right now? Just so I know who I'm praying for. If that's you, you're responding to the love of God and to the plan of God today. All across this room right now, I believe there are people in this room and you're not right with God. Just lift your hand, just so I know who. I see that hand. That's so amazing. This is the greatest decision to respond to the gospel. Is there anyone else right now with this precious lady saying yes to Jesus? Anyone else right now today, you're feeling the prompt of God on your innermost being, in your heart? If that's you right now, respond to God. I see that hand, bro. That's so awesome. Two people responding. I see that hand, ma'am. Three people responding to God this morning. Three people responding to God. Friends, this is incredible. The Bible says that when one sinner comes home, all of heaven's throwing a party. Can I encourage you, Beacon Church, let's not golf clap God. Let's come into agreement with what heaven is doing right now. There is three people are saying yes to Jesus. Three people are saying yes to Jesus right now. Is there anyone else with those three people this morning who are saying, yeah, I want to get my life right with God? Anyone else in this room, just before we pray? I see that hand, ma'am, right up the back there. Four people today saying yes to Jesus. This is the power of the gospel, my friends. The Holy Spirit moves in power on the preaching of his word. He moves in power. Four people right now saying yes to Jesus. I want to receive your forgiveness and I want to become a child of God. Oh my gosh, are you excited? Oh, I could like backflip off this stage right now. This is how excited I am. Is there anyone else with those four people? And today you're saying yes to Jesus. All across this room, thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, we're going to pray this prayer together. This is just starting a conversation between you and God right now. I just want you to repeat this after me. We're all going to pray it together. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and you died and you rose again. And right now, I say, be my Lord and my Savior. And I open up my heart and I ask you, Holy Spirit, come and fill me with the fullness of who you are. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate with those people today? Best decision you can ever make.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.